Good morning. I'm Pastor Ron Hawkins, one of the pastors here at Eastminster. You know, we are really grateful that you're all here, whether you're a guest in our midst or you're watching via live stream or later online. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us. If you'd like to follow along in the Bible, we're in 1 Peter 4. Soon we'll be reading from the 7th verse of 1 Peter 4 and on. If you want to turn there, feel free to. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for a beautiful sunny day in Wichita. Thank you, Lord, for giving us rest overnight. Thank you for gathering us together in your name to be with your people, hearing your word and yielding to your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A while back, Lynette and I took our daughter, Stephanie, her husband, Craig, and their two girls, Charlie and Sophia, out for dinner. Sophie, at that point, was around 2 years of age. She is sweet as can be. She's very observant, and she takes everything in. And she's freely vocal with whatever she sees. Not a strong screen there at all, or filter, but that's okay for a two-year-old. She looks around the restaurant. She sees an older couple in a booth in the corner. There's a man there whose resting face, well, he does not look like a happy camper. Something like this. She looked at him for a couple seconds, then she turned to us, and then she scrunched her face up as if to imitate his, and she says, "He's mad." We cracked up. Fortunately, the gentleman was far enough away that we don't think he heard her, but unfortunately, the man did look like he was mad. Who knows? If he smiled, he may have had the most winsome smile in the room. And as unfair as it may be, rather than projecting a winsome persona, this man appeared to be in a rather consistent place of grumble. Good thing we are never, ever, ever like that. Peter says to us, the church, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. What? Us grumble? Come on, really? Let's put the text in its context, reading responsively together. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised, and through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Peter talks of the end times. Peter and others in the scriptures give evidence that they thought the world would come to an end in their lifetime. And for 2,000 years, the church has been living in the end times, and some believe that Jesus could come at any moment. I sure do. Many think we are in the end of the end times. Sure could be. Peter says, therefore, even all the more reason to be paying attention, to be persistent in prayer, to be living in love, to be forgiving each other, to be serving as gifted, to be sharing his word. With the ultimate goal being that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. But take note, nicely nestled in that list of noble and imperative practices is one that in comparison seems to be somewhat insignificant and frankly easy enough to do. Offer hospitality to another one another without grumbling. But it's just as noble and just as imperative, for the truth be told, a gospel-centered church that is a hospitable church is a winsome church. This is the second of three messages in a series titled The Winsome Church. The subtitle I've given to this is The Church Should Be the Most Hospitable Place on Earth. Last Sunday's God's Word challenged us to live out biblical and radical hospitality with those who are not like us. Next Sunday, we're going to consider the call to show hospitality to those who are far from God. This morning, our focus will be on winsome hospitality right here on Sunday mornings or whenever we gather. So I'm going to meddle with you a bit today. If you're a guest, glad you're here. I guess you could go home because we're going to talk about us and our guests, but I'd rather you stay because you're here. And besides, you might just take something home with you anyway. Who knows? So what does having a heart of hospitality look like? Well, as Pastor Matt shared last week, biblical hospitality is far greater than the cultural hospitality of our day. It's not the same thing as entertaining. It's not the same thing as sitting at the feet of Felicia Jackson or Martha Stewart and following their lead on how to put a spread out with stylish flair. Editor and emeritus of Word and Way magazine, Bill Webb, speaks of this kind of hospitality. He says, obviously, some hosts and hostesses can do such things with panache or flamboyantly. Who would not want to experience such hospitality? Now, please don't hear me criticizing such giftedness and graciousness, for whenever Lynette and I are treated to such an experience, well, it's mwah, wonderful, fun, delicious. We're honored, we're blessed, we're grateful. But again, it's not what is required to engage in the hospitality Peter references. For if it was, well, then no wonder Peter tells us to do it without grumbling, because for some of us, without this kind of passion and giftedness, we'd have a hard time to do it even with grumbling. Bill Webb continues, however, at its heart, hospitality is not an extension of wealth, it is an extension of self, regardless the means. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It really sounds like an easy enough instruction. In fact, it seems like Peter could have stopped halfway through. Offer hospitality to one another, full stop. Yeah. And yet, for some reason, he feels the need to tack on a qualifier without grumbling. Wouldn't simple little, be ye hospitable, be enough? Wouldn't hospitality come naturally for these people? Well, any time that the Bible adds a qualifier to an imperative statement, it's there for a reason. For instance, be positive in a positive way. In Ephesians 4, the word says, speak the truth in love. Philippians 4, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Or in the negative, in 1 Timothy 4, lifting up holy hands without anger. Or as is the case, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. See, God knows that even the believer will not always, cannot always do the right thing or avoid doing the wrong thing without the right attitude, and such is the case with the topic at hand. One church guru observed, most churches think they are friendly, while most visitors think they are not. Ouch. See, herein lies the problem. Most churches are friendly with their friends. I get it. We come to church and we haven't seen someone for a week or a month or even longer, and we naturally want to connect and catch up. But unfortunately, beyond the greeter at the door or the ushers at these doors as people come in handing out bulletins, in most churches, the guest can come and go unnoticed, uncared for, feeling more disconnected than they did before they came, experience that sense of being alone in a crowd, some never to return. And so, Peter's word is a strong one. Offer hospitality to one another, which includes our guest, without grumbling. Back in verse 10, Peter encourages us to use our spiritual gifts to serve others. And there are those that have the spiritual gift of hospitality. You spot them right away because they just naturally will engage new people. They're outgoing, they're extroverts generally, and they'll engage in conversation no matter how long or brief it may be. And they'll be the ones that will be seeing a need and they'll go try to meet it. They'll naturally engage the stranger with carry conversation. They'll see people on the sidelines and they'll try to invite them in. So we see people with spiritual gifts, and the nature of spiritual gifts is given to some people and not to all. Nobody has all the spiritual gifts, not even pastors, right? Because God wants us to depend on one another for the gifts he gives us. And as a body, we come together with the fullness of the power of the Spirit. But we see people with spiritual gifts and go, oh, great. I'm glad that he does that and she does that. And then we go, so I don't have to. You know how it goes. Not my gift, not my problem. And yet there are spiritual gifts like evangelism. There's a spiritual gift of evangelism. You've seen those people, and they just start getting into a spiritual conversation so easily, like they woke up doing it, and they can lead people to Christ in amazing ways, and we just go, wow. And so should we, because God has gifted them supernaturally. And yet the Bible says, when Paul talks to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So there are the Great Commission is for all of us. So true is the practice of hospitality. As I've thought about this topic in preparing for this message, specifically thinking about winsome hospitality on a Sunday morning, a definition I came across seems to put it together well. Winsome hospitality is the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. Notice, winsome hospitality is a quality or a disposition. It's something that God can grow within us. It's not something that you have to work up, and well, maybe the first time you do, because maybe you are an introvert, but I'm telling you, introverts can be hospitable. All we have to do is say, good morning, I'm Ron, good to meet you. Have you ever been here before? Oh, you're a longtime member, sorry, I'm new myself. Your chart, oh yeah, well, it's okay. You just muddle through it. And it doesn't matter because they're glad you approached them. Winsome hospitality is about receiving and treating guests and strangers. The Greek literally means for hospitality, the love of strangers. Ah, I just had an idea. Listen now. So from here on out, because we want to be biblically accurate, now we know the meaning of hospitality, maybe we should try this on for size. When we see someone we don't know, we just go, howdy, stranger. And they go, where are you from? It probably wouldn't go over that. I'm not really recommending it. Guess seems far more fitting, even better than our thinking of people as visitors. Visitors is not a bad word. I still use it because I go back to the default. But I think seeing people as guests changes the whole paradigm. Visitors come and go. Zoos have visitors. Museums have visitors. You can visit a museum, enjoy it by strolling from exhibit to exhibit, taking it all in, and then going home quite satisfied. No human interaction needed. On the other hand, guests are people we've been expecting, we've been praying for, we've prepared for. Guests are people we honor. Guests are people we want to make comfortable in our home. Winsome hospitality works itself out in a warm, friendly, generous way. The hospitable Christian is authentically who they are. You don't have to put on a happy face and just get out there and gut it out. You can be who you are as you just approach people and say, "Glad you're here. Can I help you find something? Can I help you with anything?" A winsome church cares for guests and truly hopes they return. A winsome church loves, and they're not afraid to show it. Our hope is that more and more, when a guest sets foot on our campus, he or she will be greeted by a smiling face and a warm greeting. So one might ask, where does this kind of hospitality originate? It comes from above. For winsome hospitality flows out of the very heart of God. For it is God who displays the ultimate hospitality by first creating this world and this universe we live within, and then he breathes life into us and lets us reside here with whom he wants to then enjoy a relationship with. He begins that relationship in the Old Testament by revealing himself to people, making a covenant with them to be their God and they to be his people. And then at just the right time, he sends his son, first as a guest and a stranger in a dark and hurting world, and then he becomes the greatest host ever to live. See, estranged by sin, Jesus receives any and all who would believe in him, and on his death and resurrection, he extends his warm welcome of acceptance, of forgiveness. For the short and the skinny of it is this: winsome hospitality is the warm welcome of God. Jesus teaches winsome hospitality in the stories of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. He lives it out at the home of Mary and Martha. He shows up expressing his winsome hospitality when he drops by to see Zacchaeus. The act of winsome hospitality is done without the expectation of return benefit. It focuses on the other, not the self. It's seeing a guest and doing what we can to help him or her feel less like a stranger and more like they are home. And this is ubiquitous. When we grab on to this warm welcome of God that we extend to our guests, we also grab on to this, the warm welcome of God to each other. There's people that you see every Sunday and you may have never had a conversation with them. You're waiting for them to come to you, and I would say, go to them. You know, whenever the topic of hospitality is broached, invariably someone will mention to me that maybe we should return to that time in the service when the pastor tells everyone to stand up and greet somebody you don't know. I love the heart that is behind this, and while it's a great idea to do once in a while, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm just not a real fan. I don't really like the idea of becoming a weekly pattern, like working it into our liturgy. And here's why. Number one, most guests do not like it. Number two, it's easy for us to see that as letting us off the hook. Okay, I stood up and I greeted somebody I didn't know. Now I can go out and talk to my friends and ignore everybody else. How much better if we became a community where we actually cared about each other and reach out to one another, connecting with our friends, but also with those we don't know, and especially those who look like they are new in our midst. Winsome hospitality. It's a warm welcome, a friendly handshake, a generous conversation. So how do we move from where we are to where we'd like to be? You know, a while back, Lynette and I went to a leadership conference, and we heard Horst Schultz, the president and CEO of the Ritz-Carlton from the early 80s to 2001. You know, the Ritz-Carlton is known not only for its song, remember that, putting on the Ritz song, I do. The Ritz-Carlton is famous for luxurious hotels and extravagant hospitality. Dr. Tim Irwin, New York Times bestselling author and leadership authority, says this of Mr. Schultz. Industry luminaries regard Horst Schultz as the leading hotelier in the world, but his influence extends far beyond the hospitality business because he would teach leadership and hospitality that would work its way out into any organization and any gathering. Well, at that particular conference, he told this story that we both found compelling. There was a problem they were experiencing, and it was in their quest to be the best in hospitality, room service was taking way too long. When someone ordered room service, the time it took from the hot food to get up to the room was unacceptable. So he thought about it, he researched it, he asked around, and this is what he found. The problem was they didn't have enough sheets. I know. What? That's right. Because they had to continually launder them and go back and forth to the rooms because they didn't have enough. That's caused the elevators to get backed up. And so when those that were trying to deliver room service went to use the elevator, they had to wait and they were delayed. So they bought more sheets and solved their hospitality problem. The church has a problem, not just this church, most churches. Although it should be the most hospitable place on earth, sometimes Starbucks or the local pub does a better job. The solution? Number one, again, it's a matter of the heart. As we understand God's warm welcome of us into his kingdom and his hospitality extended to us when we came to know him by faith, and that he extends to us every single day of our lives, as we grasp onto that, we understand that is our call, our charge to extend to others. It's a matter of the heart, number one. Number two, when we see those that are gifted in hospitality, biblical hospitality, they have that spiritual gift, just watch them, learn from them. Be you, but learn from them and then step out in faith. Edie Wadsworth wrote a book called The Three Secrets of Radical Hospitality. In her work, she writes the following: this is key to almost everything in life, not just hospitality. If you can learn this precious lesson, your life will be full and blessed. Train yourself to walk into every situation asking these questions. How can I be a blessing here? What are this person's needs and how can I help meet them? How can I share myself in a meaningful way? How can I break through the normal barriers of communication and get to the heart of things? How can we laugh and have a good time? Eastminster, God has great things in store for us. Now is the time, I believe, to respond fully to his call for biblical hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. For I believe that a winsome church with God's heart for hospitality will thrive beyond its wildest dreams. And so, I want to share with you a new ministry initiative, and I want to invite you to consider joining us in this endeavor. We want to develop a winsome welcome ministry here at Eastminster. We've got ushers and greeters that do a great job, but we need more of them. You know, we don't pay them enough to make them be here every single week. Sometimes they go on vacation. Sometimes they're not feeling well. So we need to expand what we already have there. We want to expand the front desk out there and make that a place of true, warm welcome. Sometimes there's someone answering the phone or there's people just sitting there chatting, which is fine. But as the guest walks in or the longtime member, that they can go there and they can be greeted and helped with whatever they need. When you walk back into the coffee hour to grab a cup of coffee, if you wait long enough for the coffee people to, you know, so they get out of the way so you can go get your coffee, it's a great system, but you got to wait a little bit. That's okay, because if you're like me, you'll wait if you want coffee because it's important. But you can walk in there, get a cup of coffee, and walk out without meeting anybody. So we want to have a host or hostess that's back in there, kind of just there to greet people, walking around and noticing people that maybe are by themselves or they look new, and at least having a short, brief engagement with them, seeing if there's anything we can do to help. You go down to the children's wing. We've got great people that serve down there, teaching Sunday school and all that good stuff at this hour and the next, but they're so busy teaching Sunday school and doing everything they do, they can't man the front door. But some of you could. Maybe not this service because you're here, but at the next service, you could be down there as part of the warm, welcoming ministry of Eastminster. So I'm looking for 50 people. 25 from this service, 25 from the next. Okay, I'm going for 60. 5 from the first is what I asked. That's 55. I can't do math. I'm looking for 50 people that would say, I could be a part of that. You know, if we had 50 people out of this congregation that would help and join that ministry, we could then schedule things such that you would be serving one Sunday a month, maybe, where you're serving in the welcome ministry and you were only doing that one Sunday a month. Maybe you're the fifth Sunday. There you go. That's, what, 4 times a year. We'll have training. We'll help equip you. And then we'll engage you into this ministry. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now, everybody, pull out this card. I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to, so everybody grab the card, please. I'm waiting. You don't have them up there, do you? Shoot. Well, we know where to find you. And if you're a guest, again, we'd love for you just to fill out some information about you so that we could greet you and thank you for being here. If you've got prayer requests, that's what this is for. But I'm going to ask everybody, I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to watch the offering plate go by, but I'm going to ask everybody to fill it out today and just put your name in there. If you only want to give me your first name because you want to be anonymous, that's okay, but know that then I can't call you by your full name. Give us a phone number or an email or some way that we can contact you if you're interested in being part of this warm welcome ministry. Just write on there, the warm welcome of God. Or you can just write welcome, because that's a lot to write. And then you're going to put that in the offering plate as it goes by. If you don't have time to get that done before the service and you're still thinking about it, as you walk out, there's ushers standing there, you know, taking bulletins that you don't want. Hand them this and say, don't recycle it, so they don't do that, and they'll get it to us. And then we'll get together and launch this ministry. Winsome hospitality is the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. Winsome hospitality is the warm welcome of God, and a winsome church will thrive beyond its wildest imaginations. Did you know that the first-time guest is making a decision on whether they're coming back within the first 5 minutes that they walk on campus? All the more reason to warmly welcome them in. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for gathering us together and to consider how you have welcomed us into your kingdom, into your family, into your presence. And might we in turn, Lord, be agents of that warm welcome to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.